Well, my name is Keith, and I want to thank you for being out today. And if it's your first time here, just a special thank you for coming out. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to everyone in this room that you would come here on a Sunday morning. And if you've never filled out a Connect card in the chair in front of you, grab one, fill it out, hand it to one of those ushers, one of the welcome team members, so they can give you a gift to say thank you for coming out. And hey, if you've got weights, if you've got situations you're going through, I believe in the power of prayer. I do. And at the very least, if you want to use the word least, which I don't like using, but at the very least, I believe God is able to bring you peace through that. And so I'd love to pray for that situation. So that's how I get to know about it. So you can't blame me if I didn't pray for you, if I didn't know about what to pray about. Okay. So the way you do that is grab a Connect card, fill it out. You don't have to put all the information, put your name or just leave a blank and write on the back of it what's going on so I can pray this week for you. It's an exciting day, May 7th, the first Sunday in May, 2017. It's a unique day, because we'll never see this day again. Do you ever think about that? I don't want to go off on a tangent, but do you ever process that where you are right now, you're never going to be there again in this moment? Like time and space just keep moving, whether we like it or not, it's just going. And so I've been trying to redirect myself to live in the moment, to enjoy what God is doing right where I am, even if I don't want to be where I am, even if I'm in a season of life and I'm like, Lord, what's next? Because I'd love to know that and I'd love to be there already. But we're able to enjoy the moment. Today's May 7th. We're going to enjoy this moment together. I want to speak to you guys about having a brand new name. And so there are cards in there to fill out for changing your name. There's not. I want to see who would look. All right. So I got some of you guys. There is no name change cards. I'm just trying to bring something here. And so that was weird, right? Someone's like, just keep going. I'll keep going. I want to talk to you guys about a struggle that I have, a problem that I have, that if you're a parent, you know this struggle well. And if you're a parent with young kids, you know it right now, or you can remember it. Or if not, you can just imagine this struggle. The struggle of leaving your house with young children. My goodness, is there a greater struggle than trying to get out the door on time with young children? I have that struggle right now. My son will be 3 in 2 weeks, and my daughter is 9 months. And I feel like every time we leave the house, we're moving out. You ever get that when you have kids? Like, how many bags do we need? We are just going to the grocery store. Like, we really need this many bags and make sure the pack and play is there. We haven't done that with the second child. I feel bad. Second child, you guys know. It's like, just grab a diaper and you're good to go. They'll be fine. If they throw up, we'll just buy new clothes while we're out. It's okay. But it's still a struggle to get out of the house. My son has a favorite stuffed animal. It's Daisy Duck. Now, I will say, in the past couple weeks, it's kind of lessened his attachment to Daisy Duck. But when he first encountered Daisy Duck, I mean, his heart was captured by her. I don't know. We prayed for him. Just, Lord, just be with my son. But he loves Daisy Duck, and he has this stuffed animal of her. And anytime we left the house, we had to make sure Daisy came with us. If Daisy wasn't there, oh man, it's gonna be really rough when he realizes. And so one morning, I'm getting the kids ready, and we're trying to get out of the house on time. And of course, I've got somewhere I need to be, and they've got to get somewhere, and things are going on that day. And so I think I have everything. I get the kids into the car, and I'm driving down the road. I'm about 2 miles away from the house, and wouldn't you know it, I forgot Daisy Duck. Now, my son immediately brings that to my attention and says, Dad, where's Daisy? And I have to be quick on my feet because as parents, you have to be. So I instantly respond, Bud, remember Daisy's at home. She's taking a nap. Didn't we agree on that? We didn't. So I'm lying to my son. But didn't we agree Daisy was going to stay home? She was going to take a nap today. He was not buying into that story at all. And so he starts saying, no, we need Daisy. We need Daisy. And I get so frustrated in that moment. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I'm already running late. Now I got to turn around for this stuffed duck. Right. And so I turn around, go home, I get the duck and I give it to my son. And I was annoyed. I'll be honest. I was annoyed and I was frustrated with him. I was frustrated with myself. And I find that that's not the only times that I get annoyed with people, not just when my son needs a duck. Maybe you could think of some times where people seem to annoy you. Can we say that, right? It's okay. They're maybe, as long as they're not in this room, right? We'll talk about them. It's okay. But you could think of the people that, man, I have these encounters. I have these moments and it seems like people get in my way. You ever get that? You ever have one of those days where it's like, why in the world does the slowest driver on Long Island have to drive in front of me? Why today of all days does this person need to be driving in this lane at this time when I'm there? And then you get to where you're going and it seems like everyone is just bothering you. Like the barista's not being nice, they're messing up your order. Like your coworkers is just why are you being so annoying right now? Like, just let me do my job. Come on, you probably have had those days before. Now, I don't know how regular you have those days. And I don't know, maybe you can imagine having those days. But I'd like to think at some point for each of us. We go through moments in life where people, if we're honest, they seem to be obstacles to what we're trying to accomplish. They seem to get in the way. It seems like, I mean, why do we lose it when there's traffic? I mean, there's nothing we can do about it, realistically. We're sitting there, there's a car accident, there's something that's taking place, and we're losing our mind because there's traffic. Or we're getting somewhere and the thing doesn't work like it was supposed to. You ever pull up to a toll booth and it's just not working? We had that recently. Thankfully, the attendant came over, but the person's easy pass wasn't working. And I'm like, good Lord, you couldn't refill your easy pass before you did this trip? Like, we have those moments where it seems like people are obstacles. Where it seems like we're rushing and we're planning and we're trying to get where we need to go. And every other person just seems to be in our way. And don't those moments lead to frustration? Honestly, doesn't something well up in us? Blood pressure rises. We reach for our emergency stash of Reese's Pieces. It's like, I need this now. Just me? Like, I need this chocolate. I need something right now to just bring me back. Bring me back. We have those moments. Now, I'm gonna suggest that the reason we react that way, I don't want to talk about, you know, how we can overcome that. I want to talk about time management today. I want to talk about those things. I want to ask something harder. Why do we react that way? And I think the answer, is because who it is we're living for. Who it is we're living for. And I want to word it this way to you. The name that we are living for. Now, naturally, normally, by default, you're going to live for your own name. You are given that name. You live by that name. And I'm not just saying, like, if your name is Joe, you live for Joe. I'm saying you live for the identity and the person of Joe. You live for the best interest of Joe. Joe is always on your mind if you are Joe. You're making sure his needs are met. You're making sure that where Joe needs to go, Joe gets to. And that's just how we live. That's how Keith can live. That's my default way. And you see that manifest itself in situations like traffic, like Daisy Duck, like a barista at a Starbucks. You see those moments where it's like, man, you're getting in Keith's way right now. You better watch out. Keith has to get to point B, and you are in between him and getting to point B. And I wanna say it this way to you so you can remember it. What you're seeing in that moment is behavior that stems from the name that you're living for. Or to say it this way as a way you can remember it, every name has a nature. Every name has a nature attached to it. And so for me, I know that when I live for the name of Keith, there are certain qualities and characteristics that are going to make themselves present. Anger, jealousy, lack of patience. We'll just word it that way. I'm not too patient. Keith is not patient. And so I know in situations that when those natures, when those behaviors are coming out, I instantly know I'm living for the name of Keith, aren't I? I instantly know this is whose name I'm trying to further in this moment. I could tell by the nature that's being presented. Now, what if there was a way that you and I, because I can't change your situations. I can't stop traffic from happening tomorrow. We pray that God can, but I don't even know that he hears that. He hears it, but I don't know that he can move all those cars for you, right? We pray for those things to change. We pray, you know, just let the barista please get the order right this time. Like, we pray those things, but what if those things are here to stay? That's just evidence of the world we live in. It's just the way our routines are. So what if then, when those normal rhythms of life keep popping up, you keep going through the same stuff, you have the same relationships, you have the same people in your lives, what if when those moments inevitably rise to the surface, a different nature could be displayed in you in that moment? That would be cool. That would be freedom. If I knew that, yes, you know what, there's going to be traffic tomorrow, and yet I can have a different response to the traffic. I could have a brand new nature when those things inevitably take place. Does that pique your interest? Would you like to know, okay, that sounds great, but how? Because this, what I'm talking about, it's a life of freedom. Come on, imagine if instead of getting annoyed when there was traffic, you said, oh, man, what can I do now? I brought books with me. It don't look like we're going anywhere. Let's read. Like, what if in that moment you say, hey, I'm going to roll down my window, talk to, hey, you guys see the traffic? Isn't this great? You may get beat up. I wouldn't suggest that unless you know the person. But what if, come on, let's dream. Imagine how that would change your situation. Now, I don't know every single one of your specific situations, but so you apply it right now. Think of the situation you go through on a regular basis. Think of what's looming over your head right now. Relationships, businesses, finances, maybe an addiction that you carry that you're trying to break. And every time that situation presents itself, you have the normal nature that you responded. I want you to substitute now in there a different nature. Maybe it's the nature of peace. The Bible says that there's peace that goes beyond understanding. Peace that, like, you don't even understand, like, why in the world am I not flipping my lid right now in this situation? Could you imagine implementing joy in that moment? Could you? I like to imagine implementing patience. When, yes, I'm trying to get my kids out of the house and I've got to be somewhere. That's the nature that I want you to start dreaming of. And I want us to turn to Acts chapter 3 and see how Peter, a man who was a man like half of us in this room are, and the other half I'm going to assume female, but he was a person like we are a person. Peter had a nature that was attached to the name of Peter at one point in his life. He lived a certain way. We can read his story and see the nature of Peter when he lived for the name of Peter. And yet, in this moment in Acts chapter 3, Peter has a situation take place where a miracle is performed. A miracle. Now, there are two miracles that we read about in this text. One of them is very obvious. And I kind of want to talk about the unobvious miracle with you this morning, because I think it's grand. It's personal for Peter, what happens. But I want you to see that the way Peter was acting in this moment was brand new. I mean, you cannot do what he did in this moment. I know I cannot do it. Keith can't. And yet he does. He does something different. He does something unique. And he lets us in on how and why he's able to react to a situation in his normal day. And I want us to discover that today. And I want you to know that the way that Peter reacts, the nature that he displays, you have access to that nature. You have access to the name that carries that nature. So we're going to read Acts chapter 3 today. Now, I did my best, as I do every week, to cut verses, but I just can't today. Okay, so I've got a few verses for us to read. So do you feel good? Are you okay? If you're sleepy, I made 24 cups of coffee. So there is plenty of coffee back there. But I'm going to ask you to just, if you got to hit your legs to make sure that they're awake so you don't go down. But I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor God's word together. And I'm going to ask you if you would like to read with me out loud these verses. And now, the past couple weeks, I've been jacking this thing up, haven't I? You've been here a couple weeks. I'm like saying whatever I want. It's not really spiritual of me. But I'm going to do my best to read what you're reading up there over here, okay? We're going to read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 8 together. It says this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Good Lord. As they approached the temple, man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. That's a cool story. You could take a seat. I advise you to jump and leap as you sit. Don't do it. That's a cool story. That's a cool moment that took place. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to work through it together. But I want you to keep in your head name and nature. Name and nature. We're introduced to a couple different people here. We're going to explore them. Have you ever been heading somewhere good and something bad happens? Right? Maybe you're going to church and your car broke down. Right? Maybe you were heading somewhere you were excited for, you had planned for this, and you're like, man, this is going to be the best thing ever, and you get a flat tire, or you run into somebody that you're like, oh, I can't believe they're here too. You ever have that experience? This is so bad. You stop somewhere real quick, like, we're just going to stop at 7-Eleven, get some stuff, and then you run into like the one talker in your life, and you're like, no, not today, not right now, right? And you have those moments, you're like, oh, I want to hear your story, but I need to get going, right? You probably have those moments. When I was 18 years old, Amy and I, we weren't married yet, so I won't say my wife, but Amy and I, we got with some friends, and we were going to head out to Massachusetts for a Christian conference. Now, I mean, right there, 18-year-olds singing on our own, and it was called Acquire the Fire. Man, look at that. We wanted to acquire some fire that weekend, and so we got us and a couple friends, and we were like, let's go out there, you know, let's go see this thing. So we had to take the ferry over, and then we had a little bit more of a trip to get into Amherst. And so we're there, and we're doing our traveling there, and we're just excited. I mean, we're the typical Christian teenagers. We got our Christian music and probably had some WWJD bracelets because it was that time period. And so we're just rocking that. We're excited, and man, we're ready to acquire the fire. And all I acquired that trip was a car accident. So we're driving there, and on the way there, it's starting to rain a little bit, and I try to stop in time. The car in front of me stops, and I hit right into them. And you know, you're trying to head somewhere good for the Lord. And now the Lord himself has ordained for this car accident to take place. Clearly, he wants bad things to happen on this good trip. And so we go through the process. The police officer, you know, he's giving me problems already because my license plate's New York. So, and I'm 18. So he's already saying, how fast were you going? I honestly wasn't going fast. And it was funny, as we're sitting there talking to the trooper, there are more accidents happening in the same spot right around us. And we look down and we notice, oh, there's oil on the road as well. And so all of us, when the water started falling from the rain, hit the oil. There were just car accident, and the guy is getting annoyed. I remember him like, you've got to be kidding me. He's walking over to the next accident. So clearly it wasn't my fault. It was the road's fault, but that's how I see it. That's how I try to explain it. Regardless, we get into this accident, and this is on a Friday, and Friday night is a service. And look, I wanted nothing to do with any fire at that moment. The only fire that was in me was a fire of anger, and I wanted it to burn against the person I hit and the trooper. And I can remember still feeling so upset at God. Be like, why would you not clear a path for me, Jesus? Like, you are God of all things. You couldn't even just like make every light green and just get me safely there. And just, I just wanted to be with you. And I remember spending that first Friday night, just I wouldn't stand during the music. I didn't care what the speaker had to say. I was too upset. I was living out the name of Keith, and the nature of Keith was so evident in that moment. Because I was on my way somewhere good, and you would think at least that God could have my back and enable some good moments to come my way. And so the rest of the trip, I decided I'm not driving anymore. I don't want to be behind the wheel of the car. And so I turned to Amy, and it was her car too. And we were married. I damaged her car. So I said, you're going to drive now the rest of the trip. I want nothing to do with this. Just get me home. And so the next morning, Saturday morning, we're all getting ready, and we're running a little bit late. So Amy's driving, and I'm like, babe, come on, we got to get there on time. So she's going pretty fast, and she gets pulled over for a speeding ticket on the way there Saturday morning. Now, I'll take full responsibility for her, because I was definitely like, babe, come on, we got to get there. And so now you've got two angry teenagers so mad at God, and the nature is just on display, because we're heading somewhere, and we thought at the very least, I mean, we could have smooth sailing just for a weekend. And I know many of us, if not all of us, you be honest, you have those moments. You do your best. We do our best to present our cases to the judge of the universe and say, look, judge, here's what's going on here. I have this planned. It's one weekend. I'm not asking for a lot. I just want sunny weather on one day. And isn't that funny? We pray for God to like change the climate and the atmosphere for our specific birthday party. Like, just forget about everything else going on, God. I need you to make sure it's sunny on this day. And we barter with him and we bargain with him. And we say, you know, at the very least, I deserve this. And here's Peter, first of all, going to a 3 o'clock prayer service. What a Jewish, just, it's ingrained in this guy. Man, I got to be at 3 o'clock prayer. So he's on his way to 3 o'clock prayer to honor God. And he has this moment take place with this beggar, with this cripple. Now, I want to point out this beggar. We read later in the story, he actually has to explain himself as to how and why he's now standing and leaping and jumping in the temple. And the story goes on to show that this guy had been doing what he was doing, begging, for 40 years. 40 years laid out in front of this gate by the temple, known as the Beautiful Gate, for 40 years. His name, this is interesting, we never find it out. Throughout the story, he's only referred to as the cripple, the lame beggar. That's his name. And we see the nature that name carries with him. He never goes into the temple because according to the Jewish law, he couldn't. They actually viewed people that had any kind of physical ailments as broken enough that they shouldn't enter that holy place we were singing about. So he could only ever stay on the outside, and that's where he lived. It was his nature. He would yell out day after day after day. I read one commentary, and they were saying from a historical viewpoint that in this culture, the idea was that it was better to die than to have to beg for a living. One person is quoted as saying, death over begging. Death over begging was a translation. Because could you imagine day after day, no one knows your name. I mean, the author of Acts, we believe is Luke, couldn't even insert the guy's name there. They only knew him as, that's the cripple. That's the cripple we know for 40 years. He's always there, and his nature is to always beg and to call out for money. That's who he is, and that's what he does. 40 years. And he understands something, that in the Jewish faith, there were three pillars that really made the faith stand up. And one of those things was what they called almsgiving, or we might say generosity. It was ingrained in a good Jewish person to know when someone asks, you give. If you have, you give to them. It's part of our faith. God honors that. And so this cripple, while his legs don't work, his brain is definitely working. Because he makes sure that they carry them to the most beautiful of gates, the one that is known as the beautiful gate. Now get it in your head, the way this temple system was set up, there was multiple entrances into the temple. And one of them was made out of copper. It was the beautiful gate. Now they didn't realize, like maybe we do now, that copper, when it hits oxygen, it starts to oxidize and changes different colors. And so they just referred to it as this beautiful gate because of all the different colors that would be present there. And out of all the other gates that were associated with the temple, this was the most trafficked one. So this guy knew, he's like, look, Jews are coming here. They've got to have money for offering time. And so I'm going to lay outside the most beautiful one and see these people day after day after day after day. And hopefully they'll give me something. It was his name and it was his nature. Now, Peter and John, they're heading into 3 o'clock prayer, and they see this man. It says in verse 3, they're about to enter. He asks them for some money, and Peter and John looked at him intently. And he says, look at us. Now, I want to imagine, if I can, because this isn't in the text, but I got to imagine it's true. But it's just an imagination, so don't quote me on this, okay? I got to think that if this guy has been laid out for 40 years in front of one of the most beautiful entrances into the temple, and Peter, I mean, he's showing up for 3 o'clock prayer. That means he's devout. He's going to prayer. I've got to think that this is not the first time Peter has seen this cripple. In 40 years? Come on, just imagine with me. You know your neighborhoods and you know the people that hang out in your neighborhoods. I see the same cars drive by. I wave to the same lady that walks her dog every morning at the same time. I know the routine and the rhythm of my neighborhood. I know who is where. And when someone's not there, I'm like, where were they? I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to say hi to them today. I've got to think, and again, I'm kind of thinking and just philosophizing. Is that a word? Philosophizing? Let's say it that way. I've got to dream up that at some point over 40 years, Peter has seen this man asking for money. He's at the most common entrance to the temple. He's laid there and he's cried out. Now, what would have been easy for Peter, name Peter, nature Peter, to do in that moment is maybe what he's always done. I don't know. What do you do when you hear someone crying out? We can ignore them, right? Come on, we could just brush them aside. I have a cell phone trick that I do, not with people too often, but when I'm really living out the name and nature of Keith, where I see someone and I survey the situation. I know exactly what's going to happen here. They're going to come up to me, ask me to buy some Girl Scout cookies. And so fake phone call right now. Put the phone up to my ear. No lie, this is your pastor. No, I just start, I'll literally talk. Yeah, I know, I'm on my way. I'm hoping that I could be there. All right, I'm good, put this back in. But that's a strategic way to ignore a person. I'm so jacked up. That's why I keep coming back here every week. Right, So maybe Peter did that. Maybe he pulled out they had tablets. They were stone. Cheesy joke. Get it? Right? Maybe he pulled out his stone tablet and I'm just going to etch something in. No need for you right now. Who knows how many times he's ignored the guy. Or because he was a devout Jew showing up at 3 o'clock prayer, maybe he's given the guy money before. Because sometimes it's easier to feed into our feel-good nature by doing a good deed, right? And it's dangerous because I know that I've done good things before for people, and maybe I'll say I'm doing it because I'm a Christian, I'm doing it for Jesus, but there's a little pat on the back that I give myself. Keith, look at you go. You have $5 and $1, and you gave that guy $5. Look at that. And it's an easy way to continue living for our own name because we feed this nature that wants to feel good about itself. I had a wake-up moment with that exact scenario a couple of years ago, and it completely changed me. See, where I live in Shirley, there are many people who, they need help. They'll ask for help. You go to a supermarket, they'll be there, and you have opportunity to just share with them in that moment. Now, I've done the ignore thing. I've done the money thing. And when I have cash on me, I like to give people what I have on me. And so I saw this guy hanging out at the back of the parking lot. And I saw him when I was going into the supermarket. And I did one of those. All right, Lord, if he's still there when I come out, I know you want me to speak to him. Like, I need God to confirm that I should go help and love someone in that moment. He's already said, go help and love that person. But let's just play my game, God. So I come out. He's still there. Like, you know what? I have to go. So I get in my car and I drive out of the parking lot. And then I have one of those. You ever have to circle back in? You're like, ah, good Lord, I should have just did it the first time. So I drive back into the parking lot. I pull up next to him and I get out of my car. And at first I just say, hey, are you okay? And the guy says, yeah, I'm all right. I say, is there anything that I could buy for you in the store? Do you need something? So no, I'm good. I could tell by his condition that he wasn't. I assumed, I think rightly, that he probably could have used something. So I said, well, can I buy you some food right now? And I remember still he was eating a soft taco from Taco Bell. He said, no, I got lunch right here. I was like, okay, what if I just, can I give you some money? You know, when this meal's over. And he's like, I really don't need money. And I remember in that moment just having kind of like an empty head of not knowing what I'm supposed to do next. And so I just asked him, I said, can I sit next to you? And he responds and says, I would love that. And I spent the next 20 minutes just talking to this guy, just hearing his story. Never gave him a dollar. Never did anything. And I got to tell you, it started to change the way I viewed people. And as I look at what Peter does here, he has opportunity to do many different things that Peter would have done, that Keith would have done, that maybe you would have done in a moment when someone's asking for help. That's the normal nature. I'll ignore them, or I'll meet the need even that they're asking for. But what's so beautiful about the name of Jesus is that the name of Jesus allows us to see the real need that the people around us have. Not that those needs are not real, because they are just as real, but there's another need that every human carries with them. And you see Peter looks at this guy for 40 years that has been begging, living this life that culture says it's better for you to die off than keep doing this. And Peter says, you know what we can do here? You know what? Because of the name that I know, because of the nature of the name that I know, I think we could bring some real healing to this situation. So you're asking me for a temporary fix. You're asking for me to just get you something to get you by. But I want to give you something that will permanently fix and change a situation. And Peter looks at this guy and says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now, that's not the nature of Peter. And Peter lets us know that in his declaration over the cripple. He starts off by saying, look, I don't have any gold or silver, but I'm going to give you what I do have. Let me change names right now. Because Peter, he's got nothing to give you right now. But I'm going to introduce you to the name of someone and the nature of someone who is able to do far beyond what I can do in this moment. And what's really interesting is that when someone used the name of a superior in their life, it showed that that person sent them off, authorized them is the word they used in the commentary, authorizes them to go out and act on their behalf. So when Peter says in the name of Jesus, in this culture, they're thinking, okay, you must have a superior over you. And by using his name this way, and even stating where he's from, he has so authorized you to act in his name. And to do things in his name and to act out his nature. And that's what Peter does. And a miracle happens. This person is restored. This person is healed. And for the first time in at least 40 years, he gets to go into the presence of God. He gets to go to temple. He gets to attend a prayer service because the name of Jesus changed him. Now, I said there's two miracles here, and one of them is kind of hidden. The obvious one is the healing of this lame beggar. The obvious one is that for 40 years living out a name and a nature, he's now got a new one and he's acting it out already. He's praising God. He's celebrating who God is. His nature has already changed just from an interaction with the name of Jesus. But you know what the other miracle is? It's in Peter's life. Because again, I'm speculating, but who knows how many times he's seen this guy and he's never, never been able to act out the name of Jesus. This is one of the first recorded healing miracles of the early church. This is the first time that they're seeing something happen that only Jesus could do. And suddenly it's happening through a person who's not Jesus, but they are living out the brand new name of Jesus and the nature of Jesus is following them. And it's being lived out. And Peter himself is having a miracle take place because I got to believe now he's realizing, you know what? If I lived for Peter's name, I would have missed this moment. I might have ignored this guy. I might have been so hung up on where I need to go and what I need to do, and this guy is in my way. I've got to get to prayer. That's what makes this situation really tricky, is that he's actually on his way to doing something we would applaud and consider good. And I mean, he had every right to just, I can't right now. Maybe when I get out of prayer, I got to be somewhere. God needs me to be somewhere. God needs you to be exactly where you are right now. And the power of Jesus' name is that his name changes you so that where you exist and where you live right now and the situations you're facing right now, his nature is able to shine through those moments. And you know what it's going to look like. You know that it may not be that externally there's fixing, but internally there's fixing. And internally, suddenly there's the fruit of the Spirit being evidenced in our lives. And suddenly we're walking around with joy, not the kind of joy that annoys people. You know, like, oh, I'm just good all the time, happy all the time. No, not that. Being realistic and saying, you want to hear how I am? You ask me, how are you? Like, that's our cordial greeting. How are you? Do you have a couple minutes? Let me tell you how I am. I don't know where I'm going to live tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to still be together tomorrow. Now, I told you where I am. Can I tell you who I am because of Jesus Christ? That's a game changer. Suddenly, you get to live out the name and nature of Jesus Christ in your situations, and that creates intrigue. And if you continue to read in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, they are intrigued. The religious leaders are intrigued. The people watching are intrigued. They start saying, isn't that's the guy. 40 years we've seen this guy. That's why I believe Peter's seen him before. 40 years we've seen him. What's he doing standing here? Peter gives him the answer. Chapter 4, verse 12. He says, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Peter declares to the audience that is intrigued, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Oh, you want to know? It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus and his nature that is now available to all people. See, Paul writes in Romans that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord. Have you called on the name of the Lord in your situation right now? Think about it. Now, maybe you've prayed prayers of, God, get me out. God, see me through. God, fix what's going on out here. But what if we just started to call on his name and know, this is something I love, know that his name becomes brand new to us, that we get a name change. One of my favorite pictures of the way that the gospel is explained, one of my favorite aspects, is that it says that the Holy Spirit adopts us in. He calls out on our behalf to God as Father. And the author goes on to say that we become, check this out, we become co-heirs with Christ. Do you get what that's saying? That the inheritance that big brother Jesus deserves to get, we become co-heirs with him. Which to me means that the same nature, the same inheritance, the same blessing that Christ alone earned, I now receive because Jesus got what I deserve. Death on a cross. Because when I live out my name and my nature and my selfishness and my impatience and my anger and everyone's in my way, it kills the things around me and ultimately it kills me. You know you die when traffic shows up. We lose it. We die. And yet the new name of Jesus, his new nature, brings freedom. Here's why. Because if you live for you, people are always going to be in your way. They are. If you live for you, your money, your time, your clock, your calendar, we like to think we own those things, but you know what it really reveals? They own us. I have a clock. I have a calendar. The danger is when the clock and the calendar has a Keith and says, you need to keep doing what you got to do. They're just in your way. You live for your name. Your nature is always going to show that people are in your way. But when you live for the name of Jesus, no one's in your way because no one can be in his way. Isn't that powerful? No person can come against the name and nature of Jesus. He's overcome everything. He even kicked death right in the face and just said, no, you know what? You can't even overcome me. And when you consider the life of Jesus, his name and nature, he never saw people in his way. There was a moment where his cousin, John the Baptist, was executed. And we read that he went off on his own to mourn a little bit. I mean, can the guy at least grieve for his cousin? And we read how people found him in his hiding, grieving place. And you know what he responded with? It says he had compassion on them. And he healed them. And he spent time with them. And he taught them. Why? because no one gets in his way. Because every person is not an obstacle, but an opportunity for love. That's how I want to live. That's the name I want to carry with me, guys. Come on, I don't want to look at the situations I know are going to rise up. Tomorrow's Monday. Oh, Monday. Tomorrow's Monday. It's the start of a new work week. Like I said, we find some safety here for an hour or so. But it's all waiting for you. What if you went back to those situations and you carried the name of Jesus into those moments? What if the nature of Jesus was on display to the people around you? Now, it's very tempting for you to try to live out the name of Jesus, but you can't try to live it out. You want to know how you live it out? You get close to that person. My son is not trying to be like me, but I see it happening. I see the way he carries himself. I see the things he says, and he's eating up my personality and my wife's personality. He's just becoming that. Not because we're saying, hey, Nate, when this happens, you need to act like we do. You need to try to be like us. It's natural because he follows us, because he lives in close community with us. You want the nature of Jesus to be evidenced in your life? Follow him. Get to know him. How do I do that? Well, you're here now. That's a good way. Take a Bible home with you. Get someone's number before you leave and just say, hey, can we follow Jesus together? Everyone in Scripture was always following in couples and in pairs. I love that. There was community there. That's why we value community. There are ways for you to follow Jesus. And it is so cool when you just see your name changing and your nature changing. And you can look back and be like, man, a year ago, I would have got out the car, got my softball bat and beat somebody and they parked in front of me. And now I'm just, let me put on some Hillsong or something. I don't know. Let's just enjoy the moment. It's cool when you see those things happen. I'm sure Peter loved this moment when he said, man, for 40 years, I ignored the guy. Now I get to see him changed. You change, it's a ripple effect to the people around you. Be encouraged today. I'm not trying to motivate you that you can be better. You can't. Jesus has already lived the better on your behalf. Follow him. Know who he is. Would you guys stand? We're going to close out in prayer together. Father, thank you so much for the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name. Thank you for his nature, his kindness, his love, his compassion. I thank you, Father, that you don't call us to try to be like your son. You call us to follow your son, to know him, to live in relationship with him. And we can do that because Jesus makes it possible. I pray that every person here knows the name of Jesus is available for calling on. I pray that every one of us would start to celebrate a new nature that is on display because of a brand new name that we live for. Father, this week, we want to show the world Jesus. We want his nature to be so evidenced in our lives. We want to celebrate the wins. We want to celebrate when we used to live for our name and now we live for his. And so, Father, we surrender all we have to you. Surround us with others who are living out this name so that we can change the world for the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.